you my picture, just to see what it felt like. A digital fixture in a world that seems so lifelike. So I type the way I feel inside that makes me wanna fight. And I try to not mistake love with anything that might feel like hype. A roll of the dice.
Welcome back to Dating Games, the modern relationships podcast. And there's a nostalgia saying that because this is our final hosts episode together.
Our last one. I can't believe it. It hasn't like fully sunk in yet.
It's so strange, you know? Think how many new crushes we've had through the duration of this show. Think how many of them you've ended up in a relationship with. Think how many of mine have crashed and burned. You know, a lot's been happening. A lot of water under the bridge.
It came out during this podcast. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. What else happened during this podcast?
I had one whole relationship during it. During the 4 years.
Yeah, but you also did like more exploration than I did. Right? Like you explore different kinds of relationships and connections where I think I'm pretty basic or at least monogamous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'll take that. Yeah. I definitely feel like I've learned a lot from it. You know, it's very strange to have talked about relationships so much in such a public way and be at a point just now, 4 years in, where I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm ready for one. Maybe now, right? After all this time. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, how do you feel about like dating privately now?
It's different because I think in some ways it's been good that like it maybe has helped like raise my standards a little bit, or, you know, me make less dumb choices, that it's like, oh, if I go ahead with this risk, I might have to talk about it.
Yeah, there's been a level of accountability that is going away.
Yeah, so is this good or bad?
Gonna like, yeah, like are we going to turn it to kids who like just got our freedom, or... are we going to like take what we've learned and grow as adults? I hope.
I think this is really the cliffhanger of this season, because obviously we came into this series 4, knowing that this would be the last one and sort of having that in mind. So I've been trying to gather up different guests, you know, what additional angles can we get in and we can lap up this knowledge before it's all over, but also creatively, it feels time. I'm like so proud of all the conversations we've had. I've loved recording with you. And I think as a creative person, you actually rarely get to feel like a project is finished. A lot of the time it's like, I have to put this down now. Like, I'm no longer good for the project, or I have worked on it too long and I am no longer objective. Like, I've done the best I can with it and now I've got to put it away. And that's what people say about writing, that you redraft until you get to a point where you're like, if I keep going... now it gets worse. Now it gets over-edited.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the same thing like writing jokes. When you were talking about that, that's exactly what it feels like for me, of like, you have this new joke and you work it. You squeeze everything you possibly can out of it. And then if you try to do any more, you're ruining your own joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you perfect it and then you're immediately bored.
Yeah, it's like, very few artists are able to stop and call it complete before it jumps the shark.
I can't begin to think what that means.
Jumping the shark means like it was so cool and then like it wasn't as good after that. Kind of like how you would talk about a certain series, or let's see, I'm trying to think of a very good example.
You're like, how do I make this Irish?
Yeah, I'm like, what shows do you guys have that we
You're like
also
finishing have? The Guinness. Is that it?
No.
I'm teasing
it. It's the moment something becomes uncool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's the hockey stick shit. Do you know what I'm talking
about? I do. I guess the Gen Z version is like it's entered norm
core. Right when it starts to go down, that's when it jumps the shark. It's like a cultural thing.
All right. I'm getting it. Okay, I'm on board. Jumping sharks.
Anyways, just ask an American to explain something. You'll wind up more confused than you started.
What were we saying? Always learning on this pod, even at the 11th hour. So, yeah, so that's so we're coming to the end of the season. We have one more episode after this one. Do I know who my guest is? No. I'm very in my head about, like, who is the perfect guest?
But it's like choosing your favorite child.
And that probably is what it's going to be, because I think...
And I haven't got many phone calls, so I'm really...
what just happened?
My tooth came out.
I thought that's what it was. Oh, and now it's fixed.
I'm falling apart at the seams, Bob.
Americans are just like Lego. Should we get into it? You've just had foot surgery and you are festering at home, or at least your mind is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. And then my tooth also came out 2 days before the surgery. So they like tried to temporarily glue it, but now we're at the point where like I say too hard of a TH and as you saw, it flies out of my mouth. If you're wondering, yeah, Bobby, I did go to a bar yesterday and it happened in public multiple times. So when you told me I look so beautiful or whatever you said, I was like, I don't feel it. My whole adult body is quitting on me. Anyways, how are you?
You were like, beautiful now. Wait for the jump scare.
Exactly. Wait for me to actually spit my front tooth at you and then tell me how pretty I am.
No, sorry,
I can't tell.
I feel you. Well, okay. I can give you some news that's not dissimilar because I've had a jump scare of my own.
Sorry, I just set you up perfectly.
People are now going to think this is scripted. So the tooth isn't even falling out. This is just all improv. There's no way to fact check us. This is audio.
And this is where you guys just have to believe us to speak in the video, but maybe that'll be the gift we leave you with, is my tooth flying at the camera.
That's the final conspiracy. Did it actually happen?
Fortunately, yes, fans. Fortunately, yes.
All right. So this is what's happened to me this week. I have a significant ex who I have not had contact with for quite a while. I want to say pre-pandemic times and years. I don't have him on social media anymore. We have had no contact since the kind of breakup conversation. And I got a message from a friend of mine who I guess still keeps tabs on him, it seems, that he is running for a far-right anti-immigrant party in the UK. And she sent me this because it was a screenshot from his, like, from the announcement, basically.
Oh my God. Bobby, you know you're about to be in the political arena. They're going to bring up your relationship. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, I hope they do. I think it reflects worse on him than it does on me.
I hope they do. But everyone's going to be like, who is Bobby?
It's a strange one. So obviously the initial reaction is you're shocked. Then loads of my friends who I've talked to about this, who, you know, many of them knew him or at least knew me while we were together, they're all like, okay, well, did you know? Were the signs? I was like, no, I'm not into someone that's anti-immigrant when I was living as an immigrant in the UK. Thank you very much. So, you know, I guess the question for you, Stephanie, is does dating me radicalize you? Or does me as an Irish guy dumping you mean that you now hate all immigrants to the point you're willing to run for a political party about it?
I'm going to say a little call me. Take more than just one motivation to be able to do that. Like, okay, couple of questions.
I'm joking. Like, I'm really trying to not blame myself for this. But the shock is there.
I have questions.
Mm-hmm.
So in America, anti-immigrant and anti-gay kind of go hand in hand. Is that similar?
Yeah, I feel like people that have those kind of strong opinions, they tend to have a few of them. Yeah.
And like, is the political arena in Ireland as crazy as it is here, where like, you know, everyone talks about each other's kids and...
Yes. So he's in the UK. So it's very like fierce there. I'd say it's more similar to the like the Republican Democrat thing where there's like two parties. They even have the same colors as the US ones. And yeah, it's vicious. And people like through generations, that's the one they vote for. In Ireland, we have our own versions of that. Being a small island, it's not just talking about the person's kid. You probably know the person's kid. It's a whole different level. So, yeah, so one thing we have here, I don't know if you have it in the States, is we've got a local election coming up, so where you elect councillors. And
it's heated?
It's not that heated. So the local ones tend to be less heated than the general elections, because that's like who runs the country as opposed to who runs your local council, basically. So, but one thing that I really love about it is we have the faces of all the candidates printed with their like party colors up on lampposts. And so wherever you go, like the closer it gets to the election, the more people's faces are everywhere. And, you know, I live in a village on the coast. And so the chance of me walking past one of these people is actually not even low. So I'm ready for when I bump into one of them. And I'm like, this year's headshot. It's great. That's my line I'm going with, whether I believe it or not. Yeah. So our politics is kind of very personable in that way, you know.
I love that. And is it too late for you to run against him?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I am in, reminder, I am in the wrong country. So, yes, it's both technically too late and no, I won't be doing that. But a good idea. That would be fierce. And he would not want me bringing up our relationship. But no, maybe I would.
Is opponent's campaign team and being like, what do you need?
Yeah. So look.
Yeah. A photo about whatever, that text chain. Let's go.
So that's something I've been, and I can laugh about it now, but if you'd asked me like a few days ago, you know, it was kind of sharing this like information to everyone I know and being like, how about this?
What was your initial reaction when you heard it?
My initial reaction was shock, followed honestly by laughter, because I'm like, why not? This, yeah, sure, that's the next plot twist in the TV show that is my life. And then, you know, I'm just, maybe it's a comedian reaction. Then I'm working on bits. Then I'm like telling loads of people I have jokes that I'm telling just to help me cope. Then I'm, you know, trying to batter away the kind of guilt of like, is the sum through line. You'll find this funny. I did tell one of my friends from work about it, and he, with a dead straight face, he's gay himself for context, looks me dead in the eye, says this with no intonation. Well, there is a really strong through line between being far right and being gay. And I was like, I'm like, he's gay, I'm not. I'm like, is this a secret that nobody's told me? And he's like, sorry, no, what I mean is like, if you're struggling with your sexuality, some people can get radicalized in all kinds of weird ways. And I was like, yeah, okay, now I see it. Now I'm like, you know, any of us can be victim to, you know, I don't think it's healthy to think any of us are like totally above it, you know, and there were definitely certain vulnerabilities there if I'm being empathic about the whole thing. So yeah, but no, shock. And if I be self-centered about it for a moment, what I will say, the one upside of all of this, I have never been more sure that I made the right decision, this person not being in my life anymore.
Never.
You know, how do I stand by this? He's on the campaign trail, chatting shit about immigrants, and I'm on his arm like, yeah, I'm one of the good ones. Hi. Like,
does he have a partner that he is campaigning with?
Don't know. I know very little, and I don't think going down the rabbit hole would be helpful to me.
No, yeah. Mm. I don't think that's where your energy needs to be spent. But holy shit, what a weird full circle experience.
There you go. Yeah. So that.
I'm like speechless as a comic. The law. So
yeah, you're like, there's something here, but I'm figuring it out. Yeah. So no.
People are like, what did you seeing him?
Yeah, and look, there was a lot I saw, and people do change. I guess this is the yeah, this is the, what's the word, the perfect example in a way of, you think you know somebody, and you know, we were growing apart for a while, maybe more than I knew, and here we are. So I'm happy with my choices. So look, I guess, end relationships. That's my platform. That's what I'm running on.
God, I don't even know what to do with that information.
Your face, you look weary. You need to sleep for a week now.
Like, how did this happen?
I know.
People are so weird.
I think we have to move on.
You have to be there where it is, because there's nothing to do with that information.
There's nothing left to say. To bail myself out, I have some more fun news.
Okay, found her fun news.
And maybe this is growth. I have a new crush.
We love a new crush.
Someone I knew, like, through a friend of mine, but we, like, had known each other for a while, but never really known each other that well. And then, you know, things changed a little bit and we spent more time together. And during that, I was like, huh, why do I keep daydreaming about this person? So that's new. And the reason I partly bring it up, not just as a cliffhanger to be like, end of the season, here's a bit of hope, maybe it'll go nowhere, is I am feeling more mature in this. I'm not as angsty. I love spending time together, but I'm not like doing some of my stuff of trying to like get to know everything about this person immediately, like desperately trying to like figure them out and figure out who I would be with them and all of this stuff. You know, I think it feels different, and that's a little bit strange, but it's also exciting to be like, oh, I just want to spend time with this person. There's no great agenda. There's no great angst. I don't feel like there's any expectations that I'd be a different version of myself when they say really nice things to me. It feels like what we've talked about before, where we're both like, is it too much to ask to be with someone nice? It feels like that. You know, there's no hint of like, you know, maybe I, let's say, get a compliment along the lines of, you know, you're a really great listener, or I feel I can really talk to you. It doesn't have that edge that sometimes comes with people talking to me, where it's like, I can see the cogs turning of, oh, that's useful to me.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel exploitative in any way of like, oh, that's who you're going to be in my life, the person I dump my baggage on. It feels like genuinely, earnestly connecting with someone and having open dialogue about caring about each other. And I don't know if it's going anywhere. I don't know if my feelings are reciprocated yet, but I actually feel really content spending more time together and just finding that out without any of the plotting of like, how do I lock this down? Going through the Rolodex of podcast episodes and be like, who has the perfect advice for this situation?
Yeah, you're not trying to manipulate the situation at all.
Yeah.
You're just letting it happen.
What is that about? What is that life?
That is growth, for sure. Like, but I also just think it's like, you can only do that with a certain amount of self-confidence, right? I think the manipulating, the trying to figure it all out and like play the game comes from a sense of not having worth enough to be receiving what you're receiving.
I think you're spot on. You know, and I don't like talking about this stuff at times because there is, you know, there is definitely like a toxic element to that where you're trying to make somebody love you. And oftentimes it comes from a genuine place of hurt, you know, and that is hard to vocalize, you know, as someone who has their own like abandonment issues that I've done a lot of work on. And, you know, I definitely know I've grown a lot there because, yeah, there have been times where like the people pleasing could be to such an extent where I didn't always feel like I had a fixed identity because I was so different with every person. I was trying to be the version that might appeal to them.
Yeah, and taking no time whatsoever to be like, do I like this person or am I just attached, which means safe?
And so I've worked on that in terms of, I feel like, friends, then colleagues, and now I'm like finally at the point where I've maybe have mostly got rid of that pull to like fight to have somebody care about you.
Yeah. And it's disappointment when they do, because you fought so hard for it. Like, so even when they do finally come around, there's not this sense of fulfillment that you think you're going to get because you like won them over or whatever. It's like, I don't know, like by the time I get there, I'm like, ew, fuck you. You should have seen how great I am from the beginning. Why did I have to show you anything?
Yeah. So that's what, without wanting to put too much on a crush, there is something wherever this goes or doesn't go, that it feels like there's something a bit different in me that I just want to show up. And that's what I feel compelled to do. And if they like me, they like me. But yeah, otherwise, like you say, it's a hollow win. You know, if you change yourself for somebody and they like you, do they actually like you or do they like the...
like you, they like this thing that you've created for them, personal, custom made, but like you're going to find so much resentment in that after a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And if people want to fall in love with a version of me, there are over 500 podcast episodes. They can take their obsession there. So yeah, that's where I'm at with that. I actually do think it's fair to credit a certain amount of that to the show. that yeah, like I have spent longer recording this show than I've been in any, you know, formalized relationship in my life.
Yeah.
And so it has been a period of like learning and reflecting, bringing some of it to therapy. And yeah, it's good shit.
It is good shit. It's beautiful.
So
it's beautiful.
Speaking of, talking of growth, your relationship, because listening at home, you may not realize this. Me and Stephanie mainly communicate on air. Like we have a very public dynamic, which is kind of part of the fun of it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I mainly know your relationship from Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I know we can't always tell from Instagram, but it does look stunning.
It is stunning. Well, I mean, it's crazy, right? Em and I went on our first date May 15th last year. And then we took a while to be official. And then we broke up. And then we got back together. And I'm like typically a huge fan of not getting back together. More like, been here, done that. Why would I need to go through that again? But I think seeing how much work and change she had actually put into things, working things out with her is like the most I've grown in so, so long. And like being hurt and having to rely on someone to take care of you completely and do all the things and like see you crawling across the floor naked puking because you forgot to eat when you took your hydrocodone. And being completely comfortable in that.
Was it Marilyn Monroe that said, if you can't love me at my worst, you don't deserve me at your best? It's if you can't love me crawling and puking.
Yeah, love me at my golem. You shouldn't get me at my toothful self. But no, it's been really, really beautiful. I think the same thing of like, I just feel so comfortable. I feel so relaxed. I don't feel like I'm like trying to manipulate the situation or... Mm-hmm. bring some next step or anything. I'm just completely fully relaxed in like where we are and what we are now. So I feel like for me, that is growth. Like not being at a place where I'm constantly hankering for the next step or the next thing. And just like, I just really want to date her right now. And being in love is super fun. And yeah, so I feel good.
When did we become such grown-ups?
I don't know. It's probably going to end this podcast. It's so boring.
Yeah, is it like total like end of show syndrome? And then actually we go back to our messy shit next week?
I hope not. You know, like I really, really like my girlfriend. So I hope not. But maybe in some ways, like I said, the accountability is it's tough to not have it anymore. I guess we have to remain accountable with each other.
Yeah. And, you know, in a real way, like I was talking to one of my friends about the whole thing with that ex. And, you know, his reaction was, well, at least it's a story. I was like, you know what? At this point in my life, I think I'm good on story. I think if this show is a testament to anything, I have had a few to tell over the years. And you know what? I said to him, I think now I'm ready for my next breakup to be, it was boring. If I can't have a really great relationship next, can I at least have one that's uneventful?
Like, we're no longer at the point where we're doing things for the plot anymore. It's like we're actually thinking about our future and what's best for us.
Yeah.
Gross.
I know. And I was scrolling Instagram there for a minute because I was trying to find like some quote that really spoke to me. And I don't really know what it says that I can't find it. Instead, I found a meme of two cats looking shocked. And it says, when you're waiting for the waiter and you realize you're the waiter. Or you realize that makes you the waiter. So I don't know. But there was a quote on Instagram that really spoke to me. And not to get your therapy from Instagram. But I was like, maybe I'm fixed. Because this one meme. And it wasn't the one about the cats.
Yeah, I don't think I'm fixed. But I feel like I have the tools I need to keep it moving.
And one final plot point before we finish up. Which maybe isn't not messy. I have a plus one to a wedding of a good friend next May, this time next year. And I have decided, surely that's plenty of time to manifest a partner by. Like, I'm actually feeling really ready for something real and good and healthy. And I don't know, as you know, knowing me, like, being single has been my kind of mode and how I felt most comfortable for my adult life in general, really, for most of it. And this is the one point where I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm ready to trust more. Oh, I remember the quote from Instagram. Okay. All right. It's come to me. It's come. Sorry. It's so chaotic.
Jump scares this episode. A lot of jump scares.
Interrupting my earnest stream of consciousness. All right. So it was, finding love isn't about going out and finding it. It's about finding the barriers in you that aren't letting it in. Finding love isn't about going out and finding it. It's about finding the barriers in you that aren't letting it in.
That's 1,000% true.
That spoke to me.
Yeah. Makes me want to cry.
I know. Maybe this is why I should be in therapy at the moment. But no, I was like, you know what, little Instagram algorithm that knows how to get me. You were right on this occasion. So that's how I'm feeling. And so I'm, yeah, feeling more ready than I've been for a relationship. And I have not entirely not leaned into the plot, as you were joking about, because now I have set myself a deadline of this wedding next year. And who will I be taking? It did immediately backfire on me because my friend then sent an updated invite. And I have to RSVP to that by putting in this person's name. So I guess we're very specifically manifesting. I guess we just take a name that I like. And then when I run into somebody with that name, it's too late for them.
They don't know it, but you know it.
Dark-sided. That's my plan.
What's the name?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to go through a Rolodex of like, okay, well, let's choose a common Irish name. And, you know, some Kiva or Owen is going to be in trouble.
Kiva or Owen, lots coming for you with love and advice.
Particularly Kiva, because it can have two common spellings, and I have a preference for which one, so better come correct. I'm not picky, but anyway, Shaluk, that is where I'm at. So yeah, that's the cliffhanger.
I think we're leaving on a little bit of a lackluster cliffhanger, but nonetheless.
My cliffhanger is, I'm still single, but I have a strategy.
Yeah, it's like this started as a dating podcast and ends with a crush.
It's going in reverse. And then you're in a happy relationship, but you can't leave the house because your teeth and feet are falling apart. So,
I'm like, I choke my butt, literally everything.
Thriving all around. Thank you so much.
Say the word thriving without spitting my tooth out. Okay.
Don't do it, Steph.
Thriving.
All right. Well, look, it's been such a joy recording with you. You're so lovely.
It's been an honor, Bob. It's been an honor.
It's been a time. All right. That's it. That's the end. We don't have a sign.
Okay. Well,
bye.
Ireland, it's your favorite American girl. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damage by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd try couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.